ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎ ಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶಿಲು ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ಕಿ ಜಯ್, ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದ ಕಿ ಜಯ್, ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕಿ ಜಯ್. ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್, ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್, ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಅಂಡ್ ಗೋರಂಗ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ, ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ, ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟು 5 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 4, ದಿ ಕ್ಯಾರೆಕ್ಟರಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಋಷಭದೇವ, ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ನಂಬರ್ 5. ವಿದಿತಾನುರಾಗಂ ಆಪೌರ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ ಜನಪದೋ ರಾಜನಾಭಿರಾತ್ಮಜಂ ಸಮಯ ಸೇತು ರಕ್ಷಾಯಾಂ ಅಭಿಶಿಷ್ಟ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣೇಶು ಪಾನಿಧಾಯ ಸಹ ಮೇರುದೇವ್ಯ ವಿಶಾಲಾಯಾಂ ಪ್ರಸನ್ನ ನಿಪುಣೇನ ತಪಸಾ ಸಮಾಧಿ ಯೋಗೇನ ನರನಾರಾಯಣಾಖ್ಯಂ ಭಗವಂತಂ ವಾಸುದೇವಂ ಉಪಾಸೀನ ಕಾಲೇನ ತನ್ಮಹಿಮಾನಂ ಅವಾಪ. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. King Nabhi understood that his son Rishabhadev was very popular among the citizens and among government officers and ministers. Understanding the popularity of his son, Maharaj Nabhi enthroned him as the emperor of the world to give protection to the general populace in terms of Vedic religious system. To do this, he entrusted him into the hands of learned Brahmanas who would guide him in administrating the government. Then Maharaj Nabhi and his wife Meru Devi went to Badrikashram in the Himalaya mountains, where the king engaged himself very expertly in austerities and penances with great jubilation. In full samadhi, he worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead Naranarayana, who is Krishna in his plenary expansion. By doing so, in course of time, Maharaj Nabhi was elevated to the spiritual world known as Vaikuntha. Purport. When Maharaj Nabhi saw that his son Rishabhadev was popular with the general populace and the governmental servants, he chose to install him on the imperial throne. In addition, he wanted to entrust his son into the hands of the learned Brahmanas. This means that a monarch was supposed to govern strictly according to Vedic principles, under the guidance of learned Brahmanas who could advise him according to the standard Vedic scriptures like Manusmriti and similar Shastras. It is the duty of the king to rule the citizens according to Vedic principles. According to Vedic principles, society is divided into 4 categories: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagasah. After dividing society in this way, it is the king's duty to see that everyone executes Vedic principles according to his caste. A Brahmana must perform the duty of a Brahmana without cheating the public. It is not that one attains the name of a Brahmana without the qualifications. It is the king's duty to see that everyone engages in his occupational duty according to Vedic principles. In addition, retirement at the end of life is compulsory. Maharaj Nabhi, although a king, retired from family life and went with his wife to a place called Badrikashram in the Himalayas. where the deity Naranarayana is worshipped. The word prasanna nipunena tapasa indicate that the king accepted all kinds of austerity very expertly and jubilantly. He did not at all mind leaving his comfortable life at home, although he was the emperor. Despite undergoing severe austerities and penances, he felt very pleased at Badrikashram and did everything there expertly. In this way, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, Samadhi Yoga, although always thinking of Krishna, Vasudeva, Maharaj Nabhi attained success at the end of his life and was promoted to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha Loka. This is the way of the Vedic life. One must stop the process of repeated birth and death and return home, back to Godhead. The words Tan Mahimanam Avapa are significant in this regard. Srila Sridhar Swami says that Mahima means liberation in this life. We should act in such a way in this life that after giving up this body, we will become liberated from the bondage of repeated birth and death. This is called Jivan Mukti. Srila Veera Raghava Acharya states that in the Chandogya Upanishad, there are 8 symptoms of a Jivan Mukta, a person who's already liberated, even when living in this body. The first symptom of one soul liberated is that he is freed from all sinful activity, apahata papa. As long as one is under the clutches of maya in the material energy, one has to engage in sinful activity. Bhagavad Gita describes such people as duskritinaha, which indicates that they are always engaged in sinful activity. One who is liberated in this life does not commit any sinful activities. Sinful activity involves illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication and gambling. Another symptom of a liberated person is vijara, which indicates that he is not subjected to the miseries of old age. Another symptom is vimrityu. A liberated person prepares himself in such a way that he does not take on any more material bodies which are destined to die. In other words, he does not fall down again to repeated birth and death. Another symptom is vishoka, which indicates that he is callous. And Prabhupada describes that as long as one has a material body or is in the clutches of maya, he has to perform sinful activity. He doesn't have an option. Because the illusory potency of the Lord is stronger than the consciousness of the living entity is aligned with the deluding potency. There's this enjoyment tendency. That enjoyment tendency makes a person do things that are sinful. And here Prabhupada describes sinful activity involves illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. So when in the previous verse, for the devotee, everything happens according to yoga maya. And for a person who's sinful, even if they do yoga, it's called maya yoga. There's no really yoga, it's just a maya. So yoga maya and maya yoga. That's the difference for a devotee and for a materialist. They may do anything. The so-called yoga is still maya. Because it bewilders them into thinking, oh, by this I can eat better, I can have better sex, I can have a healthier body and a stronger mind, and with determination pursue my goals. So that is not yoga. And the next is vijara. Vijara means that one is free, is not subjected to the miseries of old age. So while the body might transform into old age, they are not disturbed by the miseries of old age.
Old age is very miserable. And we discussed during the pastime of Narada Muni describing what is the Prabhu's name? Narada Muni gives this whole allegory of he is speaking to Prachina Parishad, but the king is called Puranjana. Thank you. Thank you. King Puranjana, his fear is when old age, Jara, shows up. As the, in that section is described that the old age brings about so many miseries. The organs stop working, the bones become stiff, the mental faculties don't work anymore. Once vata, pitta, kapha are completely out of balance, and it takes only a little to put it out of balance. In Ayurveda it's described that when the vata imbalance is very strong, one develops rheumatism, and the body and all the systems become very stiff. They cannot easily move, the fingers become tight, they can't hold anything, they can't stand up, they can't sit. The simple tasks become impossible. The organs don't function that well anymore. They're very inefficient. The mind, the brain, they don't work so well. Once thinking becomes slow, they become forgetful, or they become extremely disturbed for small things, and they become very dependent. So a liberated person is Vijara, that they're not bothered by these miseries. Then he says another symptom is Vimrityu. Vimrityu means they are not worried about, or they do not die in the sense how materialists die. When a materialist dies, death is forced upon him, and another birth is forced upon him. Jatasya hi dhruva mrityum. It's forced. One doesn't choose. Oh, I would like those parents. I don't like these parents. I like that country. I don't like this. Nothing like that. Species, everything is happening by one's karmic credit. Yantra rudhani mayaya. This is a system that is self-propagating under the divine supervision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we don't get to choose. In one sense, we get to choose by our activities, but we can't choose specifically. You know, next life, I want those parents. It doesn't work like that. It's very difficult. Vimrityu is that once he gives up his body, there is no another body. Punarjanma na vidyate. He's not born into this material world again. Not forced to take birth again. And he says Vishoka. Vishoka indicates that he's callous to material distress and happiness. Vishoka is actually in all these words, the prefix of V is provided. Vimrityu, Vishoka, Vimukta. This Vimukta means completely, Vikshishta Rupena, in completeness. So Vishoka is that he's completely free of any disturbance due to happiness or distress. In fact, it's described in the Bhagavad Gita that even happiness can be disturbing. Material happiness can be disturbing because one gets carried away. Of course, we know that material distress is disturbing. So he's not disturbed by these things. That means he's focused on his service. and he's not performing his duty or doing his service for the experience of certain type of happiness or for avoiding certain distresses. Another is vijighatsa. Jighatsa is that he does not desire material enjoyment. That is not the motivation. Everybody in the material world is impelled by or motivated by material happiness, either gross or subtle. Gross material happiness means very direct sensual engagements, and in very gross ways. And the subtle material enjoyment is enjoying in the mode of goodness, more knowledge, pursuing high-grade happiness, etc. More refined. Oh, what is all this frat parties and this is not nice. How about music and fine poetry and enjoying the great nuances in literature, painting, classical music, things like that. That's also enjoyment. It's subtler, it's more refined, but it's still material. And then another symptom is apipata, which means he has no desire other than to engage in devotional service. So whether it is materially happy or a distressful condition, devotional service is his choice. Sometimes devotional service seems distressful. The body may not be cooperating, the mind could be disturbed, the circumstances may be disturbing, the climate is very uncooperating, the time, place and circumstances are not favorable. But the devotee, this Jivan Mukta person, is always interested in performing his service to Krishna. That means his service is so, he's so fixed in his service that any material circumstance, favorable or unfavorable, does not dictate the quality of his service, even in the most unfavorable circumstances. Then he says he's Satyakama, that whatever he desires, it is fulfilled by Krishna's grace. Because Krishna is very happy to fulfill the desires of a personality like this. Because they will only want, what do they desire? They desire that Krishna's mercy come to everyone. They only desire, sarve sukhino bhavantu. Or sarve jana kala prasidatam. May all the disturbances subside. Dhyayantu bhutani shivam mithodhyat. Let everyone's heart experience happiness. Let they be completely free of animosity. Let them be free of interpersonal envy. Let them be free of any other disturbances. Abhadras. Manascha bhadram. Let they experience auspiciousness in their heart. And that auspiciousness is, may everyone engage in devotional service. So Krishna is very happy to fulfill that. Satyakama. And Satya Sankalpa. Satyakama and Satya Sankalpa go together because Satyakama means he desires everything for Krishna, and Satya Sankalpa is whatever he desires, Krishna fulfills that. A nice way to study Prabhupada's books is, as we read purports like these, is to associate these qualities with the life of Srila Prabhupada, for example, and how these qualities are manifesting in Srila Prabhupada himself. Srila Prabhupada um, never engaged in any sinful activity. In fact, whatever activity he performed was for the benefit of others. Because sinful activity is those activities that are very much centered around one's own enjoyment. And that one's own enjoyment is so intense that they become indifferent. They become completely apathetic to anyone else's suffering. They don't care. That is for meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling. They are favorites. Because they don't care about anyone. They only care about themselves. Or Vijara. Prabhupada started the Hare Krishna movement in one sense at a very ripe age. And there were so many distresses related to his body. His kidneys were not functioning. He also had a stroke when he came to New York. And just aging, and aging fast. Yet, he did not let any of the distresses of his material body become an obstacle in the expansion, in the spreading of the Hare Krishna movement. I mean, there are many, many such pastimes. I'm only giving in principles. Vimrityu. One indication of how mrityu for a next person, that another birth is assured, is one is that they are not, that they become very fearful at the time of death. Naturally, because they have a special darshan at the time of death. The special darshan is the curtain opens and some special personalities give them blessings. And just as Lord Krishna holds flute in his hand, Lord Ramachandra holds a bow, these personalities hold ropes in their hands. They are called pasha. Pasha means that's the rope by which they yank out the subtle body from the gross body. And they travel in families, the grahastas. Okay. The husband, wife, dog, they all show up, the yamadutas. I'm kidding. But the idea is the yamadutas come and people are not happy to see them. They're very scary. And a person who's vimrityu, they're not afraid when death appears. In fact, they're jubilant. They're jubilant that in confidence that the next destination is one of full service, ahaituki apratihata service. Because they get another fantastic opportunity, either in Vaikuntha or in the earthly realm, or even if it is hellish condition, doesn't matter. Swarga apavarga narakeshu apitulyartha darshanam. Because they are called Narayana Parayanas. Like that, these are qualities extolling or glorifying Srila Prabhupada as a personality. And Satya Sankalpa, whatever Prabhupada desired in one sense happened. Go start a magazine. Oh, Prabhupada, start a magazine. Psh, Back to Godhead magazine came. Maharaj was narrating the pastime. Chaitanya Charitamrita, 17 volumes. 12 volumes? 17 volumes. 2 months. Print them. Srila Prabhupada, impossible. Impossible is a word in the fool's dictionary. And they made it happen. He empowered them to make it happen. Maharaj was describing in Naperville Center that the devotees would come to Srila Prabhupada and say, Srila Prabhupada, this year we distributed 2 million books. Prabhupada said, very good, now double it. I thought he would say, we're very happy. He would say, yes, now double it. No, it's not possible, Prabhupada. Every time they came, double it, do something very extraordinary. And it happened. And Krishna allowed. Krishna facilitated it to happen. This is Satya Sankalpa. Another meaning for Mahima means to attain, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one attains the qualities of the personality of Godhead.
And he says, this is called sadharma, or the same quality. The same quality is that one fully realizes and one is situated in one's Satchit Ananda state, because Krishna is Satchit Ananda, and the living entity, the jiva, who becomes mukta, also becomes and fully operates on his Satchit Ananda nature. And other qualities that are bestowed upon the living entity. Because without Satchit Ananda nature, one cannot be Jivan Mukta. One cannot operate on the transcendental form, transcendental platform. So there's a difference. One is called Jiva Bhuta, and the liberated person is called Brahma Bhuta. The two different platforms of operation. On the Jiva Bhuta stage, one is influenced by the illusory potency. In the Brahma Bhuta stage, one is influenced by the internal potency. So that transformation from Jiva Bhuta stage to Brahma Bhuta stage, the process is the process of bhakti, starting with sadhana bhakti. His devotees who return to Godhead never die and never take birth within this material world. So Srila Prabhupada would narrate a story that a saintly person was traveling and he met different people. And he was giving them blessings accordingly. He met a prince. And he said, Rajaputra Chiranjeeva, may you have a very, very long life. Muniputra Majiva, don't live. May you die soon. He met a butcher. And to the butcher he said, Ma jiva ma mara, don't live, don't die. And when he met a devotee, he said, Jivo va marova, it doesn't matter whether you're alive or dead. And Prabhupada describes, according to their propensities, he gave them blessings. To the prince, he told him, don't die, may you live for a long time, because you're accustomed to engaging in so much sense gratification that if you die, the next situation is really bad. You get some really animal, monkey, pigeon lifestyle. He said, Prabhupada quotes or says that pigeons and monkeys are experts in sex indulgence. Monkeys can have sex 10 times in 1 hour or something. So prince, if that's what you want, don't die, because you know, then you'll prove Darwin wrong. You'll go from human species to monkeys. Like, oh man. To Muniputra, he said, don't live, don't die. Don't live because this world is full of so many stimuli for sense gratification. It's difficult for you. And don't die because you haven't achieved your yogic perfection yet. So it's a tough spot. To a butcher, to the yogi, Muniputra Majiva, he told the Muni's son, don't live, this place is not for you. He said, this place is not for you, you should die. What will you do in the material world anyway? You want to withdraw your senses from sense engagement, pratyahara, and this is not the place for you, so better to die. To the butcher, he said, don't live and don't die. He told him, don't live, because what is your life after all? From morning to night, all you're doing is separating the body from the head, or separating the head from the body of different animals while they're crying out in pain and protesting. But you're so careless, you don't care, you just go, chop. Yeah? So this is not good. Don't live. Life's not worth living for you. And life's not worth dying either. Because the karmic consequences of death for a butcher is really bad. How many times has this soul to take a body that the head has to be cut off by all the other living entities that he has killed? Oh, it's bad, terrible. And to the devotee, he said, well, it doesn't matter whether you're alive or dead, because either way you'll be serving Krishna.
So what blessing can I give you? Jivo va maro va. Okay, any comments, questions? Maharaj, would you like to say something?
Just a clarification in regards to the older generation and the younger generation, because the West, they also have a similar idea that the younger generation should just kind of go out on their own.
Yes.
But it seems to have detrimental effects, whereas yes. The Vedic culture seems to, they keep the generations in an extended family, and they seem to carry on the tradition, the spiritual or religious tradition. Maybe you could clarify that.
Sure, Maharaj. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna asks us to neither be too attached nor too averse. So one should pass on the responsibility to the next generation, but only after the next generation has been sufficiently trained. So if the previous generation does not take up the training of the next generation seriously, then just letting the next generation manage on their own is a disservice. So the principle is to train sufficiently the next generation. Here it's described that he was handed over to the brahmanas, to the great learned persons, and they were trained. When the children would see their parents engaged in, kingly work, they would see what was going on. They would see how they dealt with all the different issues and matters of the state. And when they were sufficiently trained, tested, that's when the responsibility would be passed on. But without training, just to say that, oh, now that one person has come of age, meaning the physical body has grown to adulthood, oh, now you're on your own, is a disservice. The coming of age is not just the physical aspect, but also the mental, emotional, and most importantly, one's spiritual coming of age. When one's spiritually come of age, then they can manage their responsibilities and carry on tradition with the same purity that they had received it, or the same purity that it was passed on to them. Is that okay, Maharaj? Okay, Jagadananda Prabhu.
And they also leave the instructions.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So, like Nityan Pranta was sharing, so of course they personally train, but they also leave their instructions behind, like Srila Prabhupada's, books. So we can still associate with Srila Prabhupada, for thousands of generations in the future. So they leave their legacy even in that way. So they leave, their successors, and then they also leave their legacy through their instructions.
Thank you.
This Vanaprastha, the way the Maharaj Nabhi, he took Vanaprastha. So what I've also heard is, those of us that may be, doing that sometime in the future, initially it may not be like a complete severance where what the parents, they leave the household and they travel to the place of pilgrimage like Maharaj, like Vidura, and then he comes back to the palace to further instruct. But they're not attached to the situation. And so more and more the detachment grows. And then there is also a decoupling between the husband and the wife. And the husband may go on, and the wife she stays in the protection of the son. So could you share something?
I will. Jai Jagannath's been screaming for the mic so he can go back to the altar. So if you don't mind, let me take his question first and I'll come back.
My question is similar to Maharaj's in the context of the GBC and the upcoming devotees, the next generation.
Succession plan.
The succession topic. So I was wondering if you can clarify that, because on the one hand, those who are the successors, they feel that the GBC is not relinquishing and giving opportunity for the next generation to actually grow. And then on the other side, the GBC may be thinking also that they're not properly trained up, they will not lead properly. And so this kind of like this tension that's there that we hear about. So I was wondering if you could speak about that topic. It was interesting to me.
I've been fortunate to a very large degree to be part of the North America, what's called Executive Committee, where this is a serious topic about succession planning. And I haven't heard any of the GBC members saying that they don't want to relinquish their responsibility. In fact, they are welcoming everybody to at least get an experience of being a GBC once, to know what it takes to do something like that. It is the most thankless job in one sense. It's very difficult. It's also their responsibility that not only to relinquish, but to make sure that they find suitable persons. See, vanaprastha is a very difficult stage for one reason, that while one has to relinquish one's responsibility, they cannot if the next generation or successor is not fit. Otherwise, then they would feel, I've done my duty of relinquishing, but I've given or passed on to someone really unfit. And except in the case of Vena's father, he just went to the forest thinking, what's the use of having such a terrible son? And he walked away. And Vena became king. After all the Brahmanas consulted, they made him king, and Vena was a disaster. So the Brahmanas sprinkled some water and finished him off. And there was anarchy. There was a period of time where there was no king. And all the Brahmanas realized, we need somebody. So somebody is better than nobody, but a well-qualified person is way better than somebody. So proper training and proper experience is necessary before that can be passed on. And there's another problem. The next generation of persons don't want to step up to take that responsibility. There are a lot of people. You ask them, you want to be a temple president? No. You ask existing temple presidents, you want to be GBC? No. That is too much problem. I don't want. So there's also hesitation. Actually, every generation of persons must aspire to become qualified to take on responsibility for the parampara. Not in a foolhardy manner. It's a title. I like the title. It's another upadhi then, unfortunately. But service. One must aspire to become qualified, to get trained, to take responsibility for the movement. Not just enjoy the fruits of the movement, but to also take responsibility. Just as you've come to a tree and the tree is bearing nice fruit, it's not okay to say, I like fruit, very nice tree. But to also pour water, trim the branches when necessary, make sure it gets sufficient light and air and manure and all of that. That's a responsibility. So that after me, whoever comes will also get the fruit. So it's a double responsibility. Back to Jagdananda Prabhu's comment. That is an issue, yeah. Yeah. No, this generation is not nudging people out. Is that what you're saying?
No, no. Well, he was saying there is this tension where they don't want to relinquish. But I'm saying, but if this current generation, if they are overly eager of occupying that post, I mean, most likely they should not be, you know, that person.
See, my experience is very limited to North America. Maybe Maharaj, if you'd like to speak on the topic, great. But it's not, there's a mixture of different things, the different dynamics going. But in general, people don't want to step up to take more responsibility. Because like, hey, who wants the headache of managing problems? But someone has to do it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, when we talk about the temple president of the GBC, but in our own small way, if this is like some small thing, then we are very sort of eager, or somebody may be eager to take that position, not understanding fully what it even means. That's what I meant, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Eagerness, immature eagerness is called utsahamayi stage, but there is actual utsaha, proper enthusiasm must be there. To take on responsibility. Maharaj, would you like to comment anything on this topic? No. Less said, the better. I forgot your question. Sorry. Vanaprastha, yeah. I remembered Vanaprastha. I didn't remember the specifics. Vanaprastha, it is not, well, in its pure state, is vana, prastha. Prastha means to travel to or to move towards, to vana. Because in the forest, life is simpler, more austere, and one is not enjoying all the fruits of one's labor, like nice house, decorations and furniture and family, all of that. But one is living very simply, more importantly, dependent on nature. And one, the more one depends on nature, one's feeling of proximity to the personality of Godhead is greater. It doesn't have to be vanaprastha in its physical feature.
Yeah.
Vanaprastha can be in its at the level of consciousness, that one does not get overly involved in the day-to-day household activities. Rather, the real purpose of Vanaprastha lifestyle is that from morning till night, they're involved in hearing and chanting. And whatever simple food comes, that's all. It's not, one is not overly pursuing, oh, let's have Mexican today. Let's have Chinese today. It's nothing like that. Whatever comes, they eat without complaining. Everything is simplified so that they have, in their final years, full option, full opportunity for hearing and chanting. And they may stay with the family, either because there's some physical situation or the next generation may need something, but yet that's not the main purpose that is keeping them with the family. So those are transitionary elements of Vanaprastha. Just as even in sannyas, there are transitionary elements. Kutichaka, Bahudaka, then is Parivrajakacharya and Paramahamsa stage. Although Shastras don't describe within Vanaprastha such levels or grades, still, the Vanaprastha is in one's consciousness. Traveling, teaching, preaching, simplified lifestyle, hearing, full engagement in hearing and chanting, and preparing for going back to Godhead. Because in the previous stage of grahastha, one may have got involved in so many matters, you know, insurance, bills, whatever, you know, mortgages, this and that, family, this and that, that occasion, and these weddings, and those parties, and graduation, this. Harikatha and Harinama. And this rest of the generation must also support that. They shouldn't complain, oh, you didn't come to my graduation party. Well, I'm happy you didn't come. I'm glad you were hearing and chanting. That's very nice. The next generation must be sufficiently educated to know, oh, this is very nice. That's what they should be doing. And one respects that.
Because ideally they are culturing Krishna consciousness for many years.
Right.
And they have significant contribution to make in that arena just by traveling and sort of staying.
Yeah, and they're setting the right example for others to do so. Without example, then punaf punah charvita charvananam adanta gobir vishatam tamishram. The previous generation becomes expert at sense gratification and tells the next generation, my dear son, do better than me. They haven't left anything for them. Okay. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.